This week's episode has been brought to you by the paid subscribership of Doreen and the donations of Christopher and Jamie. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the show. Go to thedadpodcast.com and become a paid subscriber yourself. Stop the show now and do it. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 76. I am here not in studio, but in the illustrious, fantastic, glamorous comedy condo in Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah, with my new friend, Danny Browning. We're working here New Year's Eve, and I found out that you have a three-year-old daughter? Is that
3-year-old daughter, yes.
Yes, Sophia.
Sophia.
And I have two boys, as you also know. So my listeners are always interested in hearing more perspective on fathers who have daughters.
Okay.
And so I thought, hey, why not sit down and do a show? Everybody always has the curiosity about, and you talk about it in your act a little bit, is vaginal maintenance. And I like watching people laugh. Sorry, I'm going to butcher your joke, but he essentially says every time he cleans his daughter, he feels he should go straight to jail, which I think is definitely a relatable thing. But I like the audience that they laugh and then they go, oh, like.
It's weird. You know, the first 2 years, I didn't complain because it's all about survival, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's there and it's part of it. Poop, whatever, wipe it down, be done with it. You know, at some point it just becomes very weird to, I mean, because with a girl, like essentially what you're doing when you're cleaning her is the same thing you did to her mother to make the baby. The legs have to be spread open. The fingers have to part the vagina.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Because if poop gets up in there, that could be bad news.
Yeah.
So you gotta like part the junk and then. And then wipe down in there, and the whole time she's there and she's looking at you, and after the first 2 years, great, but at this point, I'm done with it.
Let's get it. You need to step away. Now, do you have this situation where you're like, listen, I need you to start pulling more weight, changing diapers, but you know what I'm saying? Like, take a step back. Obviously, you travel and you're on the road a lot, but it's an emotionally weird thing. Or does your wife feel just as uncomfortable?
Well, I don't think she feels as uncomfortable because she's a girl, you know. Yeah. She's been dealing with the vag her whole life, right? And
I appreciate the term. I like it.
And so, you know, it's not a thing. But what I've discovered in talking about it on the road is that a lot of men.
Yeah.
Like the other night, you know, I told a young girl she should tell her father, thank you for cleaning poop out of my vagina. And no man has ever said, dude, that was inappropriate.
Right.
But a lot of men have been like, yeah.
Thank you.
My daughter told me that, and it's about damn time. Like, it's a weird thing, man.
Yeah, I can imagine it easily being an uncomfortable thing. It's an interesting dynamic for me as a father of two sons to think about the idea that there is this weird pressure, I don't know if that's the right word, or just stigma about when you are a father and you have a little girl, that everything is vaginally oriented, everything becomes overly sexualized, like you have to be paranoid about dating early on. Like, we even talked a little bit about Tommy Jonigan's joke about that, where he's like, can I hold her before we talk about her banging dudes?
Yeah.
And I always ask this of dads, is that something that you think society creates, or is it something that as guys we're just wired to be worried about, or...
That's a good question. Maybe it's a little bit of both. Like one day we were at a fair and there was a bluegrass band playing, right? Mm-hmm. And we were in these chairs and they had these big tents over us and she was dancing. It was super cute, right? But one of the metal poles next to the chair, she grabbed it and she was swinging around on it, right?
Oh, no.
Now that should have been just as sweet and innocent as anything.
Yeah.
But in the adult mind... You know, I I was thinking it, but I was suppressing the thoughts. But then sure enough, some lady just leans over and is like, oh, your daughter's going to be a pole dancer.
Oh, my
and
God.
She was just joking or being silly. But just the thought of it, like, I grabbed my little girl's hand. I was like, you go up there and dance. And it's so, like, again, it should have been, it should have been innocent. But
right.
I think just guys in general, you know, Chris Rock says it best, that your goal is to keep her off the pole.
Mm-hmm.
And then society, it's a very sexualized, I mean, I can't even watch TV with her now, you know. I try to watch football with her, you know, and a commercial for a boner pill comes on. And I all of a sudden, I'm just like, Nick Jr.
Yeah.
Nick Jr.
Change the channel.
Something. I mean, give me a break, man. So it's definitely nothing I ever thought about before I had her.
Yeah.
But now it's very, I guess we just live in a sexualized world or something. Yeah.
Well, there's also guys that have daughters. Like, when you found out you were having a little girl, did you guys wait to be surprised when she was born, or did you know beforehand?
No, we knew beforehand.
You knew beforehand. Yeah. So when you find out, were you scared? Like, obviously you're excited, just like have a kid, doesn't really matter. But then as a father, you do have that thing where you find out you're having a girl. Do you immediately flash forward to teenage years, or is it just like, what goes through your mind?
No, like when we first found out, it's just the same as any dad. You know, you're reading the books, you're trying to, you know, like get the house ready, get ready mentally and physically, you know, try to get as much sex with your wife as you can before it hits off limits, or at least I was. And, you know, so you're just, you do that. But then, like, when she, you know, after she's born and then everybody's telling you how cute she is and, oh, you're gonna have a problem with the boys with this.
See,
one
that's the science that makes me think it's more societal, because I think that you're fine until you hit that point where other people see your kid and know that's a little girl, and then they start saying, which I think is them displacing their own stupid bullshit concerns, right?
Sure. Like, and then it's, you know, and then all of this other stuff comes into play. Like, then you hear about pedophiles and this and that, and you know, I'm very fortunate that my daughter took after her mother. They're both, you know, my wife's beautiful. My baby is really cute.
Very adorable girl, yes.
And it's one of those things where it's like, all of a sudden, like, I can't even walk through the mall with her without, like, becoming one of Justin Bieber's bodyguards, you know? Like, I don't want anybody to talk to her, look at her. It's just leave her alone, you know? And then, so now it's to the point when I think about she's a teenager, I can't be overprotective, because then maybe she'll just, like, rebel and be as slutty as possible.
Yeah.
But So I don't know. It's very, I think if it were a boy, and maybe you could tell me this, with a boy, I wouldn't be as worried about that, the teenage years and stuff.
You don't even have to think about it when you have boys.
You know,
to be
like
honest,
we were
at
talking,
least I don't.
Like we were talking off mic, you were like, I'll raise them to be respectable and this and that and the other. But with a girl, like you hope you can do all of that, but I don't know, man. Plus, she's just female. Not to offend the females in the audience, but that's a certain other, you know, female mindset craziness going on.
That's the other thing I wanted to talk about is that, to go back, is that I wish the listeners could see you, because it is like it's, and I see this a lot with dads that have daughters, that there's this like a weird weight that I feel like you guys all carry as a burden that I just want to hug you. Like, I want to go, I'm sorry, man. Like, they can't see your face right now, but as you're describing this stuff, I feel bad for even bringing it up. Like,
yeah, it's just, you know, when Kim Kardashian and old boy had their kid, Northwest, right? Kanye said, if it's a girl, I'm going to go straight out and buy a gun. And, you know, if I didn't have a kid, I would have been like,
what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Weird.
You're black. You should already have a gun.
Right?
But when he said it, I was like, hey, yeah, I get it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of, because society is so sexualized, I think, there's a lot of like outside forces, whether it's other boys or, you know, pedophiles or just whatever. That you just, the protection, the man protecting instinct just really comes into play with a little girl, you know? At the same time, they're super cuddly and sweet and awesome. You know?
See, and for boys, like my experience is that it's not, my sons are very affectionate and cuddly and all that stuff, but that there's a different thing where it's like I'm trying to pass on a preparation. That's what I feel like I'm doing. I'm constantly feeling like I need to prepare them for the real world and what's gonna come at them. And I wonder if I had a daughter, if I would still be the same kind of parent. Obviously, it would be a different kind of preparation, or if it's like what you're describing, is that instead of this, because to me, I would describe being a father of a son as almost like a pushing, as opposed to like what you described, which is like an engulfment, like a hug,
yeah.
Like, you know, like just a bubble of some kind.
It
you know?
Really is. Like, that's the one thing after she was born. And I know all parents want to protect their kids.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's just, there's something about a little girl that just, it just makes you want to, like you said, engulf her and yeah. protect her from everything. Like I think about how I'll teach her to, you know, the world and what's coming at her and everything. But, you know, at some point, I'm not going to be able to protect her from every penis that's trying to get inside of her. You know, yeah. it's
I feel so bad that that's just a part of your life. I'm sorry that I'm laughing, but I really, truly do feel bad that that is in any way. Because you have that's the weird, it's such a weird, weird thing for it must be to have a daughter, is that that's not even in the realm of possibility for your daughter for probably a decade or more, if you know what I mean. Like,
at least.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, she's three.
Until she can get the lock off the door.
Exactly. Like, it's like that's – so, like, I would imagine that somewhere around in today's world that, you know, boys start to come into the picture around 10 to 12, but nothing really crazy. But then it starts getting, like, kind of really on thin ice around the 13, and yet you're already there. Like – so dads that have – like there's a dad that just wrote into the show a couple weeks ago that was describing he dropped off his 15-year-old daughter for the first like date movie that they went to. And he was losing his mind kind of. And so I imagine from the outside looking in that you've been preparing for this day. You know,
since
it's like Terminator, you know, like yeah. you've been preparing for this day since the day she was born, and like, and running through strategies and having this like inner battle that's interspliced with very cute, sweet, endearing moments involving some kind of tea party, I'm imagining, or something mm-hmm. along those lines. But it's just gotta be so damn draining. Just fuck.
It is. And you know, our friend, Dr. Jay Sute,
yeah.
I talked to him about this because his daughters are 19, 20 mm-hmm. or whatever. And he writes their birth control prescriptions for them.
Really?
And
I didn't know
like,
that.
How do you do that, man? And he was like, you know, at some point you just stop worrying about it. They're going to be having sex. So I'd rather make sure they have the pills, because the last thing I want yeah. is them bringing home babies.
Yeah.
So maybe once you get up to that age, like, you know, we're talking about 15 years from now, she'll be 18. So 15 years from now, that'll be 15 years of me prepping for that, mm-hmm. you know. But if I find out when she's 14 that, you know, she's already doing it, I will probably, like, have to – well, I'll either have to just start working on cruise ships for months at a time, or I'll probably end up in jail
yeah.
because there'll be a homicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like, because like what we're talking about in the car before we turn on the microphones, is that the reason why I plan to raise my sons the way I do when they become teenagers, to be incredibly respectful and aware of how women and girls are emotionally different and wired even sexually different from guys, that is because I think that we should really focus on building a society where everybody's more aware of the difference of a father of a daughter, and that I'm hoping I can instill in my son to say, listen, that girl that you are attracted to or whatever has a father who is hyper concerned, and so you need to act as if he is standing right next to you at least 95% of the time. You know what I mean?
Like, that's awesome. Like, if every parent did that, that would be great. But the problem is obviously they don't, and there's
yeah.
always.
I don't like those dads that have sons that like are like, yeah, I don't want to see you bang around. I don't want them to settle down. Like honestly, this is not me trying to score some bullshit brownie points. It makes me feel unsettled. Like, it makes me feel weird. You know?
Yeah, and you know, society does have that double standard. You know, if a high school boy is, you know, banging lots of chicks,
tagging and bagging,
good for him.
Yeah.
But if a girl's on the, you know, doing the same thing, she's
a slut,
dirty slut. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
gonna be doing porn.
Yeah, and it's just so hard for me to figure out how to navigate through mm-hmm. all of that. And sometimes, you know, she's three right now, and I try to enjoy her youth and this age, but that is always, like, the future is always on the back of my brain.
I'm so sorry. It really is. I feel bad now even doing this show.
I've never even thought about it until now, but it always is.
It's like a creeping thing in the back. Have you ever talked to your wife about how, like, her dad or, you know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing that I think is interesting. For me, I knew my wife when she was in high school. Like, I've always been with her. I've known the kind of, you know what I mean? So, and I know the relationship she has with her father, too. And, I mean, has that come up yet? Or you talked to your...
No, but the good news is my wife, I met her, she was 20, I think. And she had only had, like, maybe one other boyfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't a slutty slut.
Yeah.
So, that is reassuring in that I know that she will be able to talk to my daughter and together as a team, we can bring her up the right way. And with this job, you know, she'll be exposed once she's old enough. She's in her teen years and she can travel with me. She'll be able to see the world.
Yep.
I'll be able to explain certain things to her. So when she's 18, hopefully she won't be naive. Like, she'll know that a lot of these guys are popping woodies and coming after her, and she'll know that's all they're looking for.
You know?
So sometimes maybe I worry too much, but it's just hard. You know, women can relate to their daughters just like men can relate to their sons, you know, but that, you know, it's hard enough for me to communicate with my wife and I'm married to her, you know, like... Much less a daughter who, you know.
Well, that was the next thing I wanted to cover is that I've known, I mean, it's known, it's common knowledge that, you know, girls develop faster than boys, like mentally, like in communication and emotional awareness and all of that stuff. So, like, I'm looking at my son right now who's two and he can have a conversation. But I feel like he doesn't necessarily have – when he's trying to manipulate you, it's very obvious that that is what is happening. Now, I feel, again, as an ignorant father of two sons, I feel like that manipulation, when you put it into the form of a girl, is almost like that movie Species, you know what I mean, where mm-hmm. she could just trick somebody and she's like a separate being in that ability when you're a father trying to do that. Is that true? Or?
Well, I mean, there is a certain thing, you know, like I've always, you know, it's hard for men to say no to pretty girls, right? And then when that little pretty girl's your daughter and she's cuddling with you and, "Daddy, can I have another Reese's peanut butter cup for breakfast?" Tell your mom. Shit. You know? And so yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's hard. Fortunately, she doesn't do it that often, but there is that aspect of it. Yeah, for sure.
And she, do you see that she's more aware of that? Like aware of, I guess... interactions, because I've talked to, we've had other dads that have had daughters on the show, and they told me that a lot of the playtime is like, it's more interactive in the sense that there's playing out of scenes and there's, you have a character that you're supposed to be, or there's tea party type stuff where you're acting something out. There's a lot of that involved in it.
Sure.
And what is that like?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, for a guy like me, like sometimes I can really get into it, you know, and then other times when we're playing shopping and I'm supposed to be the cash register lady, like, and she'll push her little cart around and bring me stuff in her room and then I'm supposed to ring it up and then we trade places and she's the cash register lady and I'm supposed to buy junk in the room or whether we're playing school and I'm her preschool teacher and I'm using the kiddie condo as her desk and we're... You know, so yeah, I've never thought about that, but yeah, there is a lot of like acting out and scenarios and
with boys, in my opinion, it's more passive. It's either they're interacting with an object. That's so they have cars and trucks and guys that they play with, and they it's all within their own little realm. And if you interact with each other, then you do that. But there's not really playing of a role. There isn't a like a repeat of a scene. Like that's what I think is interesting. Like you're going shop. Okay, now we're gonna do it, but we're gonna switch roles. Like it sounds everything you describe sounds like an acting class to me.
it kind of is. Like sometimes when I'm really into it, I try to, you know, like if we're playing hide and seek and it's very obvious where she is because she's laughing and I can see her foot sticking out or whatever. You know, but she'll jump out and be like, "Here I am," and I and on the inside, I'm thinking, "Oh, did I sell that good? Like, was that overdoing it or whatever?"
I don't know if you do this already, but I think this might not be a bad idea for an actual bit to discover, to talk about. Because I mean, you do acting and things like that, and you can incorporate that into your child's play. Like, you're giving the cash register lady a backstory and establishing, overanalyzing who she is.
All
and
of
what,
a sudden, I'm walking with a limp and talking with a raspy cigarette voice. I don't want your doggy anymore. We're all out of Dr. Seuss books. And with you, you have two kids, so they can interact with each other.
Yes.
Whereas with me, like, she's either, you know, the one thing she does do by herself for a little while is Play-Doh. She loves to sit down and play with Play-Doh, but after 10 or 15 minutes, it's, "Daddy, will you come play
with me?" What
kind
of things does she make with Play-Doh?
Anything, you know, she has lots of cookie cutters, so she'll cookie cutter stuff, or she'll just roll it and make snakes or whatever,
okay,
or
so
make
it's
little
about
bracelets.
The same.
Yeah, you know, so it's,
and my guys always make animals. That's their thing. They always make, and occasionally they will make like a food of some kind. Like they like to make hot dogs out of them. Like that's about
it. Oh, sure.
But I was trying to see, I'm just really interested again, because my world is entirely male, like both boys, that I'm curious to see, even in like the similarities in play, if there is also subtle differences, like, you know, because I'm always interested in these ideas that you see these bullshit, I think they're bullshit studies about like gender orientation, about how you're supposed to raise your kid without a gender role, that that's something that society places upon them, you know, like that girls have to cook and be home ec oriented, and you know, and boys are like, they destroy and fight and guns and all that stuff. Like, do you see that in your girl, or does it?
Well, that's interesting, because when I'm home, I'm home full time. So I watch her from the second we get up until my wife gets home from work. And I'm the one who's doing the cooking and cleaning during the day. I have supper ready every night. So in her eyes, it's daddy's job to get supper ready.
Yeah,
it's
that's
daddy's
my kids
job
too, yeah.
To get the bed made and clean up before mom gets home from work. So, but at that same time, you're right. There are a lot of certain roles that are placed upon them by society.
So you think it is a societal thing, and it's not something that we're just wired into our gender?
Yeah, I think it is.
Like, I know that I know that I can obviously have, I mean, we've even joked about it off the show, is that, like, I have a lot of feminine tendencies. The listeners are well aware. I call it my mangina, where I'm, like, I'll cry at movies and stuff like that. But I also have that same, like, one of the things, here's a good example. When I first started doing stand-up, I was making zero money, you know, and I had this, it was a really bad feeling that I had, because I felt like I wanted to go out and earn a living, you know, for my family. And I knew that there were other ways that I could contribute, but it just didn't feel natural for me. Like, it was something I had to kind of adjust to, this new role that I had. And it's not like I have to work against it. I have to try. And maybe, I don't know, I think I'm actually talking myself into a hole here, because my father wasn't necessarily the homemaker by any means. He didn't pick up a fucking thing.
Yeah.
But he cooked occasionally, you know, and all that stuff. But so I'm wondering if it's because I didn't have him as a role model. I guess the only time will tell is when my sons grow up, because they've grown up with me being the homemaker.
Yeah.
That's what they've grown up watching. And so, like, I do all the cooking and the cleaning and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Well, my grandmother told me years and years ago that I needed to learn how to cook and clean, because I should never depend on a woman to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something I'll kind of pass on to her. I mean, she'll learn how to cook. She already helps us in the kitchen. She knows how to measure stuff out and put it in the bowl mix and stuff. So she'll be learning that. But at that same time, she'll also be, you know, she also has watched me and helped me change the oil in my car, or check the oil in my car. So So any learning experience, whether it's a male experience or a female experience.
And that's what I think is the good thing to come out of the, like, the gender roles being blurred, is that instead, like, my dad brought it up when he was on the episode, and he said that you're not limited by what your role is within your sex. He goes, you could go with what your strengths are. You know what I mean? So if my strength is finding a way to make money without punching in at a clock, which isn't really a strength, it's more of a strength that's developed out of a weakness of not being able to work for someone else, like, you know. But if that's my strength, then it makes sense that I can be the one who stays at home, takes care of the kids, and then works occasionally and can still bring home a paycheck. And then my wife can go to her strength, which is going into her 40-hour-a-week job and being an earner and all that stuff.
Sure.
And so now, you know, as time passes on, I won't, you know, there'll be less and less guys getting judged when they take their kids to preschool, and it's not they're doing something that is different from what that mom particularly, because I get that a lot. I get a lot of looks at, like, why are your kids walking around without a sweater and it's 68 degrees outside? And I'm like, because it's fucking 68 degrees outside, and anywhere else in the world that's not cold, bitch. That's why.
Yeah.
The sun is blaring,
yeah,
and in 2 hours it's gonna be hot as fuck, and they're gonna be inside. So that's me being a guy, and you're being a mom, going, well, we're gonna bundle them up everywhere they go and all that bullshit. But the other thing that I wanted to ask you, though, in talking about that, is that I thought it was interesting. You know how, like, you see the sitcoms and in the movies or whatever, the moms are like the heads of the household, and you hear a lot of jokes about how, you know, the males think that they're in charge, but in actuality is the women that are in charge.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, because a funny thing happened before I came out on the road, was that my son said that I was in charge of everything, but that their mother was in charge of their clothes. That was how they thought that we broke up our, not just them, our interactions with them, but the entire household duties. So that dad does everything. He's the boss of everything, but you're the boss of our clothes, is how they saw it. And so I thought it was interesting that I think, after hearing what you said, I'm wondering if they think I'm the head of the household because I'm there all the time and I'm doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does your daughter look at you as kind of being the head of the household, or is it more like mommy's clearly in charge, or is that not even a thing?
Well, I don't think she looks at it either way, but I mean, mommy's clearly in charge.
Yeah. That,
you know, mommy has all the power in her pants. So, I mean, that's the way it is. But going back real quick, for Halloween, she was Doc Stuffins.
Mm-hmm.
Doc McStuffins.
Yeah.
And several places we went, whether it was houses or her little preschool party, people would say, oh, you're a nurse. Oh, what a pretty nurse. Mm. And I was very quick. I was like, no, she's a doctor. She's a doctor. And I looked at her. I was like, if you want to be a doctor when you grow up, you can be a doctor. So it's like, I definitely don't want her to think that because she's a female, she's only limited to a certain path in her life. And, you know, like with us, I think it's kind of good for the kids to see that, you know, mom works hard.
Yep.
But dad's doing his part too.
Mm-hmm.
That whole man work, woman stay home thing. I mean, in the perfect world, if I were making $1 million doing comedy,
of course,
sure, that's the way it would be. I'd let my wife stay home and take care of the kids and the house and the whole thing and whatever.
And I'm sure, just being, tell me if I'm wrong, but because I would do the exact same thing, but just by the way my wife is wired, if both kids are in school during that time, my wife would want to have some kind of a job or part-time job or something, no matter if I was making millions of dollars or not. Or maybe if I was like making Tom Cruise money, she would want to be involved in a charitable organization.
Sure.
Or, you know, do something other than just hang out.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep them busy, man. You can't let the ladies get lazy. Yeah,
next thing you know, you get them a boob job, and then they're on their way out the door with some other asshole.
Yeah, some other asshole. I better call my wife right now. Oh, shit.
I see what she's doing.
But that's definitely it's definitely good that they see that both parents are interactive, because I think as they come up, you know, they'll be able to better – it won't, those lines won't be so rigid, like, like, oh, my husband cooks, but I can fix the car.
Right.
Or
like, your daughter doesn't have to grow up thinking that she's going to have to find a guy who can take care of her, and that she's got to just figure out a way to cook meals and all that stuff.
Absolutely not. You know, that's the one thing I will try my hardest. So she will be able to take care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
She will be independent. She will be motivated. I mean, if I can have any influence on her at all, that is what it will be. Because, yeah. And then a guy, hopefully, you know, once she does, but you never know what's going to happen when they're teenagers, because yeah. I've talked to a lot of dads and they say once the bleeding starts, everything changes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Once the whole period junk starts, everything, their minds get like messed up, man.
Really?
I mean, no offense to the ladies, but they get a little crazy.
Right. You know? But and here's the thing, like I don't know if you were the same way, but I remember like this figurative thing. When I was about 10 or 11-ish, my father has always been very close. Like, him and I have always been very, very friendly, very close. And when I was 10 or 11, I remember saying something like, oh, man, I like hanging out with you, Dad. And he's like, well, you know, you're not always going to want to hang out with me. And I'm like, what? Like, why would I not want to hang out with you? And he goes, well, in a few years, you're going to become a teenager, and then you and I are going to fight a lot. And then you'll turn 21 and we'll be friends again. That's what he told me. And I go, well, no, Dad, no. And it was this weird thing for him to tell me that beforehand
yeah.
and then me to experience it. It was like going under anesthetic very slowly. And I could see myself drifting away from him like over this slow time. And then we had like a brief like 18-month period where we're at each other's necks. And then I could see myself slowly returning, coming out of this like, it's the closest thing. It's like being stoned for damn near a decade. Like, that's what I would kind of like
now,
it too.
Now, when that was happening, though, you remembered what he had told you,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Couldn't turn it off.
That's the being stoned part about yeah. it. Like, you can't stop it,
yeah.
even no matter how aware of that you are. And I wonder if that's the same equivalent for girls. Like, everybody goes to teenage rebellion.
It's the exact same, only with female hormones involved.
Which are a dangerous weapon of mass destruction.
I mean, I say it in my act, you know, yeah. I ask the audience, I say, which is harder to raise, boys or girls?
And everybody,
and
I was
every
shocked.
Night,
always say girls.
Every now and then you hear boys, but the crowd
those people just have boys.
Girls. And I always say why, and the answer is always the same, because they're drama or they're angry, blah, blah. And I always say, well, I'm so glad you ladies grow out of that. And, you know, they laugh. Oftentimes, though, women are like,
yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing, man. I've been told by several fathers to enjoy ages, you know, 0 through 11 or 12.
Uh-huh.
But once 13 hits,
just
start booking a lot of work out on the road, because you're not going to want to be around, and she's not going to want you around anyway.
Wow, yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And it's
I dread that. Like I really hope it's not as bad as I've heard from mm-hmm. others, but I know it will happen to some extent, because that's just a part of life.
Well, and that I don't think my teenage years were as bad for my father and I, because he was so open and honest with me about everything when I was young. And so I really think that that's why we really only had about 18 months of a rough patch. And then after that, things kind of slowly moved back. And then everything really solidified again, mm-hmm. weirdly enough, when I turned about 21, right after I got married, and everything was good then. And now, like, it couldn't be better. Like, I
sure.
talk to him 2-3 times a week. We'll talk for hours at a time, and it's really nice. And he's actually doing the same fucking thing to me, where he's noticed with my sister and my brother. He said that he goes, and he noticed it with himself too. He goes, you go through this thing where you drift away from your parents. He goes, and then right about the time you hit 30 is when you come back. And he goes, or usually when you have kids and they're younger, because, you know, either you need the grandparents to help out, or you just want some advice, or, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of need to lean on somebody a little bit. And then when your kids become teenagers and you're about in your 40s, you kind of drift back away from them again, and don't really have a lot of interaction with them,
mm-hmm.
which I'm curious to see how that whole thing plays out too. But because I'm like, right now I'm 10 again. I'm just thinking this, saying this to you, is that it's like I'm 10 again now, and I'm like, why would I not want to hang out with you? Like, I would even think at 40 I've got maybe 15 years left to hang out with you before you're gone. Like, to me, that would be the opposite and furthest thing. And by the time my kids are teenagers, they're going to want nothing to do with me anyway. So
sure.
might as well be you and me go out on the road and have fun.
Oh, he was saying that once you turn 40, then once again, you'll kind of part from
that
him.
We'll pull away and get too busy with our own kids.
Maybe because your lives are so busy with teenagers and stuff. Yeah.
Extracurricular activities, I'm imagining. Yeah. I know that my sister listens to this. I think she still does. But anyway, just to be clear, it's like he's not angry about it. He looks at it and goes, well, that's interesting. Like, he's not offended. He gets it. He understands very much so that there are cycles of life. I wish my mother-in-law understood cycles of life, because she still thinks that my wife should be her 8-year-old daughter that just hangs out with her and wants to do everything with her and doesn't understand that there are things more important to her daughter than her. Like, can't fucking get that the whole point is for you to move on and build your own life and all that.
Yeah,
bullshit.
That's probably how I'm going to be.
You're gonna want her always right there with you?
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, like, the one thing I do think about is with this job, if I can stay in it and if I'm just a road comic for the rest of my life, when she's old enough to travel, whether she's 8 or 16 or whatever, I can put her in the car or on the plane with me and I can take her with me. And that'll maybe like be a way to keep us kind of together, because for her, she'll be getting free vacations. Mm-hmm. She'll be living the grown-up life, and at that, I'll be able to spend time with her
it's one of the things I also, it's like I try to figure out what's an age that I would feel comfortable leaving them by themselves for 3 hours.
In the hotel.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, that's really all you're gone for. Then you have the rest of the day and it's like, for me, maybe it's because I have boys or just because of who I am, like, we could hang out and play video games for most of the day. We could go see movies, or we could go see the sights a little bit too. Sure. I mean, you have it 4 to 5 days out of the week, and when they're not with you, you're by yourself 23 hours out of those days. Like, that's a lot of time that you could fill having fun and bonding and doing that kind of stuff. And I would love it. I would love to be able to take my kids with me. And for me, maybe it's younger than what most people, but I think around like 8 to 10-ish, I think it would be cool if he could hang out by himself
as long as you could trust him to keep the door locked in the hotel.
Exactly.
And that's the only thing. I don't know about you though, as maybe this is just because I have a girl, but let's say she was 10 and she came with me and I left her in the room and she said, "Daddy, I promised to keep the door locked."
You know,
I had food in the room for her. Everything she needed was in there. I don't know that I would be able to concentrate at work.
Yeah. I think you're right.
In the back of my mind, I would always be like, all right, now, because, you know, she would probably be totally safe.
Yes.
I'd have her dialed up on the phone the whole time.
Yes.
Just like, all right, where are you? Oh, you're on the hotel couch now. Oh, okay. Now right,
you're
using the bathroom. Okay.
Right, okay.
Call me back in 5. Yeah.
No, I agree. And it's a funny thing, because I'm sure there are people listening that heard me just say 8 to 10 and go, are you fucking kidding me? You crazy son of a bitch. I'll call CPS on your ass. And I think it's because it's hard for us. I find myself fighting this a lot, is that, I mean, when you were a kid, how old were you when you were first left by yourself after school anything?
I don't remember, but I was pretty young. And I remember my dad said, I'll never forget this one experience. Mom and dad left. They left me there alone. And I was probably 8 to 10.
Yeah.
And dad said, do not answer this door for anybody. Unless it is a relative, I don't care if it's a policeman, I don't care if it's a salesman, do not open this door. And I listened, and they were gone. And a white van pulled up in our driveway.
Are you shitting me?
No. And
I feel like this is your dad testing you.
And somebody knocked. And I remember I just like stood in the hallway and I went over to the window to look down into the driveway and I saw the white van. And I was like, I don't know anybody that drives a white van.
Yeah. And were you scared at all?
Well, I mean, no, the doors were locked and I was
safe.
Inside. Yeah. I was safe. But at the same time, I was like, Dad told me not to open the door for anybody. So I was 8 to 10, but that was definitely, thank God I listened to my father. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Well, I remember when my parents would do that, I remember thinking it was cool. And I would do the same thing. I would lock up the door, and I always knew.
Oh, it was definitely cool.
Yeah, you're home alone. I'm going to watch whatever the hell I want on TV.
I can eat whatever.
Yeah.
can play whatever I want. Yeah. I can go through my parents' stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's
find
this
my
long
dad's
blue
porno
thing?
Magazine? Yeah. Long blue rubber thing. That's weird.
Yeah. Why does it have this hook thing on the top of it?
Anyway, chocolate milk time.
Yeah.
Well, my father was also, it's funny about, he was notorious. I don't know. I think it's just, it's funny to me that he's so unaware. Maybe it's because he doesn't live in like a technological world like we do, you know, but he was constantly leaving his pornos in the DVD or not in the VHS player. Like anytime I would just go to hit play on a movie that I thought was in there, there'd be some kind of porno. So I literally saw my first porno when I was about 6 or 7-ish, 8-ish or something like that.
Wow.
And it was funny because there's all these aspects of my childhood that my dad made non-taboo by not making a big deal out of it. Uh-huh. And so they never really affected. Like, I just remember I would turn it on and there would just be this gigantic penis going into vagina. I'd be like, ah, that's not what I want to watch. And I would just turn it off. And there was a moment where I was curious and then I'm like, oh, that's just weird. And then I would just move on with my and put in, and weirdly enough, I would put in Predator and I would watch that, sure. Which I much preferred than whatever, you know, black guy, white girl thing he was
the violence was much better than the sex. Yeah, at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. I would much rather hear Arnold Schwarzenegger say things like I eat green berets for breakfast than watch any kind of sexual intercourse at that age. And I never felt afraid. I never felt like scared at any time. And I might be misremembering, like it's not like they went away. There was, I think I was almost 12 or 13 or something before they went away, like overnight. And it's so funny, like you see I remember watching these movies even as a kid where and it's, I don't, maybe I was an idiot. But you know how they always, every movie, when the mom and dad go out of town, even if it's the good kid, his, you know, dickhead friends talk him into having a
party.
There's
always a party.
Yeah, and then everything gets fucked up, and miraculously, you know, the Cat in the Hat comes in and cleans it up at the end or whatever, you know? I never had that. Like, I always, like, those movies to me taught me that I'm like, well, this will do nothing but break bad for me. So I can, even when I was old enough and could have a few friends over, that was my alone time. I would get a take and bake pizza, ride my bike to the pizza place, ride it back, cook it, and grab a movie if I wanted to at the Video King. And that's what I would do. And it was like I was a 85-year-old cat lady. But it's a different time, I think, that, and I wish I could understand why. I wish I was more aware of it. But I do think it's interesting that as people, parents are getting, you know, the new generation of parenting, is that you can't do that. Like, you know, there are people now that won't even leave a teenager home alone in the evening, and not just because they are afraid of a party or something going on where they invite their boyfriend or girlfriend over, but I think it's also just they're afraid for their safety. You have this fear of, like, they're going to get kidnapped, or you have this worst-case scenario thing that's always in your brain. And I have that too, but I try to fight it. Do you do that too or no?
I don't know if I guess I try to fight it, but I definitely – like I was saying earlier, man, like I can't even walk through the mall without thinking.
That's right.
I saw that guy on the Predator website, you know, on the pedophile website.
This gave me the image of you waking up in the morning, you get a cup of coffee, and you immediately check like Megan's Law.
You know what? It's funny you say that because when she was born, my wife and I don't know why we did this, but we ended up on the computer looking at like the sexual.
Sex
offender website
on the mat,
and we found where all of them live around us in our general area. And I remember thinking then, oh well, this is good to know, this is good info. And we saw there was one guy, he had an unforgettable face, and I was with Sophia at the grocery store and we saw the guy. Now maybe it wasn't the same guy, but that face unforgettable to me. And I remember I was holding her hand in the parking lot, and I pulled her to me, and like the guy wasn't even paying attention to us, but but like my instincts were like, "Ooh, you stay away, bro." Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Well, and the weird thing too about my dad had a friend that had been reported on this thing, and it's a very weird thing the way that works, like. And people, I'm sure, have heard stories that this could be something like when you're 20s and you decide to streak or something like that. Like then you got to start knocking on doors, technically. And then this guy had a girlfriend that he broke up with. Like the kid had said that he was doing something weird with the kid. And so just because these were charges that were brought up, like for a while he was had to appeal it, but he was showing up on these lists. So these could be people that it really has nothing to do with. They're not the real people I think that we should be afraid of. Like there's mix ups in that, but I don't think you're weird or alone by any means in looking. I would find it hard to imagine that there is, especially a father of a child. Like I'm actually shocked that I think it's only because I have two boys, weirdly enough and unfairly enough, that when we bought this house, I didn't even look at what was around. I'm curious. I wonder if my wife did. That might be something she did, but didn't ask me. Because the only reason she would have brought it up is if somebody was near the house,
yeah,
or in the neighborhood or something like that. Oh, but we live right next to a school. That's why. They can't live within a certain range of a school, I think, or something like that, isn't
that's
it?
That's smart, man.
It wasn't intentional. But
that's a good idea.
Not for that reason. But it was just the house that was available, and we knew that was a good elementary school, but... Yeah, that I guess that does keep them out. And I've brought it up on the show, but my fence, I have a chain link fence from the school that runs along the back of my property line, uh-huh, and it has like one of those green privacy things, but you could see through it. And I'm interested, curious to see that if me and my wife, if we were freaky, say I want to bang around in the backyard, and the kids happen to be in school, like does that mean I have to start knocking on doors because I'm having sex in my own private property in my backyard? Is that... That's weird, right?
I don't
right?
know. I mean, if the kids see it, they, you know, yeah, they have something to talk about in geography class, you know?
Geography. There's a weird land to the south of us where ugly people have sex with each other. That's not fair to my wife. But I think that answers all of my questions about, is there anything else you could think of that, or how about this? Anything you want to ask me about having sons? Probably not, because it's so much easier for
them. You know what? It seems like I know nothing about having sons, uh-huh, but it seems like it would be easier than having a daughter to me.
For a father, I really think it is. I think it's just like what you described earlier, that my wife was concerned about it at some point, but not even concerned, because I think moms get to have that maternal instinct.
They're moms. Yeah.
But my wife was bummed when she found out our second son was going to be a boy, so she was having another boy. But she was only really bummed because they told her it was going to be a girl, and then 5 minutes later told her it was a boy. And I think it was that rug getting yanked from underneath her that really upset her. And she wanted to be able to put on like nice clothes and braid hair. And
yeah.
She wanted to be able to do that kind of stuff. And I think what was interesting was she said that there's an interesting dynamic for her. And I think a lot of dads who have especially like multiple daughters where you're the only one of your gender in the house. So my wife is the only woman in the house, mm-hmm, and she's dominated by this male energy all the time. And dominated is not the, it's not like she's oppressed. It's just always around. Like, mm-hmm, her world is superheroes and Ninja Turtles and video, mm-hmm, games, and then whatever the kids are into too. And, so I think that for her, that was the kind of the thing that she was bummed about. But, and maybe it's the same for you too. What I told her is that I go, no, you don't, because you're their mother, I am always the asshole. Like when you have sons, the dad is always the asshole.
And sons tend to gravitate towards their moms anyway. Mm-hmm. And daughters tend to gravitate towards their fathers.
Right.
But at that same time, mothers also get to dress up their daughters and everything you said, fix, mm-hmm, their hair and dress them up like dolls. However, I will say this, like sometimes my wife or, you know, I'll be gone or I'll get home from a long road trip and on my way home, we're ready for daddy to be home because like her and my 3-year-old are butting heads already. Yeah. Like that estrogen, mm-hmm, drama is there. And it's just like, really? Like this sweet little creature is what? How do you fight with a 3-year-old? But so it's interesting.
Have you seen them butt heads, or is it always when you're on your way back?
Like, well,
I would be curious about how that works.
I tend to believe that when I'm gone, the house falls. Like it's chaos there, like because just I'll hear certain stories or certain things that are being done, and I'll get home and socks will be up on the fan, or and I'm like, what happened while I was gone? You know. Mm-hmm. I've seen them. You know, sometimes Sophia will be a little whiny and my wife will just be like very short with her. Like, it's time to go to bed. Now. You know, like Hitler, man. Pick up these blocks now. I'm tired of you doing this now. And where I'm always more like much more cool with her. And I mean,
you're the laid back parent.
I discipline her and stuff. Yeah, I mean, when it comes time, if daddy has to drop his iron hand, then I do. But
it's used sparingly.
But there
is that fair to say?
Yeah, but with them, it's more of a female thing. Yeah, the catty thing.
Well, and that might be just because they happen to be girls. Because I find that people who come into my house, especially in the morning. Because that's my time. My wife does the bedtime. That's her time to have with the kids and everything. So she does baths if I haven't given them a bath already. But she does books and brushes teeth at night. And then I'm the one that makes breakfast and gets them out the door, brushes teeth and dress and all that stuff. And we have very different styles. With my wife, it's lots of, okay, we're going to 5 minutes and then we're going to do this and all that stuff. Whereas me, it's like, okay, you have 15 minutes to eat your breakfast, then we're brushing teeth. Got it? And then they're like, okay. And my grandfather was actually just visiting, and he called me a drill sergeant because I was like, I need shoes on. I need you out the door. Get your sweaters. Get your cup. Get your lunch. Let's go.
Yeah, it's on the
table. And he's like, damn, like a drill sergeant. And I think, in my opinion, he had all daughters. And I think he might be closer to you where he was like, what – I didn't have to do all that. Like, that's not what it, but to me, I'm like, well, this is how I get them going. And they're not upset or offended by it. It's just like, let's get it together. Maybe, I don't know, you tell me that your wife is more of like the schedule, the routine, the let's get this done now. Is that fair to say?
Well, to some extent. I mean, I'm a lot like you, especially like in the mornings, if it's preschool time or whatever, you know, it's like, all right, we got to get up. Here's our plan, Sophie. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What? Here we go. We're getting up. We're going to go have breakfast. I need you to let me brush your hair, which is always an issue.
That's the thing. Thank you for reminding me. I want to know how you figure out brushing hair and ponytails and braids. God,
I still haven't, man. Like,
you're only 3 years in.
She'll tell me, mommy's a lot better at this than you are, Dad. For some reason, every time I brush her hair, her head yanks back. Ah! She screams. So I don't know how to not pull her hair. Even though when my wife brushes, she's just like going through it with the brush. And Sophia...
Like you, that's me, the same amount of vigor, but it just seems to glide through easier.
Yeah, but with me, and then ponytails, I still have not mastered that. I've gotten a lot better. I've gotten a lot. Well, I mean, I can put it in what I call a ponytail, but there's hair sticking up on the top of the head, some hanging in her face still. But my wife can like get the pigtails going or the special like hair
topsy tail.
Yeah, the whole thing. So no, that's definitely one of those things that is for a guy, it's just like, oh, but like I get her ready for school in the morning when I'm home. So there are many a day I get there and the teacher gets her out of the car and I'm like, yeah, Sophia's having a bad hair day today. And like, I feel bad because Sophia gets out of the car and all the other students are looking good and Sophia's hair is all messed up and the pony is already coming out and it's loose and the whole thing. So,
are you one of the few stay-at-home dads that at the preschool?
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, me too.
I love going and picking her up, and all the moms come in. And I mean, you know, I love...
Do you get to talk with them and chit-chat?
Yeah, I chit-chat with them. And, like, my wife and I talk about them. Like, there's one girl, like, even when it was getting cold, one mom wore, like, Daisy Dukes every day to pick up her kids. And so she's known as the Daisy Duke girl.
Yeah, I have some kind of Latin aerobics instructor that does that at my preschool. Yeah.
And then there was another woman. She's fairly attractive, you know, so I'll talk to her. And then I'll go back to my wife. Oh, me and Stephanie talked about a play date today. Uh-huh, you know. I love going there and, like looking at all the moms and seeing the situation. You know, assessing the situation
you should come and visit me in LA because I think it might be, I want to know how it compares to Louisville to LA because in LA you get a lot of producers and directors, Mia Long, I think is her name. She's the chicken, Best Man's Holiday.
Oh, okay.
That movie that's coming out. Like her kid is in my son's class. And then I got Joe from Blue's Clues. Like his daughter's in one of my kids' classes.
I'd have to wear like sunglasses every day inside or I'd be staring at.
Yeah. It's funny because to me, I'm not very aware of it. Like I go, oh, I know her, but when she showed up and I was doing bits with her, goofing around, we were laughing about needing to drink or whatever to get through the day kind of stuff. And then she left and my wife immediately says to the preschool director, like, is that who I think it is? Like my Natalie has no, she has no, like, I remember we met, we were on a walk, and I think his name is Eric McCormick, the guy who played Will from Will and Grace.
Oh, wow.
We walked by his house, and he happened to be outside getting his mail, and we were walking behind him, and I didn't see him, and I go, hello, like, I'm just nice like that. And and then he turns around, and he goes, hello, and then we're like, oh, and then I saw, like, oh, that's cool, Tim, and I kept going, and my wife, as soon as you pass the shrub line of where his house was, like, that was a sound barrier. She goes, did you see who that was? Oh my God. And I go, honey, he could still hear you. You might want to not freak him out.
Yeah. Like, yeah. All starstruck. Yeah. My wife,
she freaks out about that stuff. But what I think is interesting, like, we have things like yoga instructors are the, like, she's, you know, at my, yeah. There's lots of that. There's, my favorite is I like to talk to the teachers. I talk to them a lot. And you get the gossip about what's going on. So, like, a producer or a director will have this beautiful actress of a wife. He'll have a couple kids with her, and then they'll go their separate ways. And then he's got a new trophy wife that he's coming in that's picking up the kids with. And yeah, so it's like a regular soap opera if you go to a preschool in LA.
Where I live, it's just a lot of moms with a little Midwestern chub, and they're just, you know, the only drama is somebody let their dog loose in the gymnasium or something. Like, one mom, her dog pooped in the, because my daughter goes to, like, a preschool at a church, so like, she let her dog down, and the dog pooped in the gym, and then was running into the sanctuary part, and that was, like, high drama. And then a letter came home, no animals allowed at the school, so
desecrating the sacred ground.
And, like, there's no yoga instructors, there's just a lot of pregnant ladies and girls who look like they've been pregnant. And Daisy Duke's chick.
Now, we have some Telemundo chicks.
Ooh.
That come. There's one of those.
Wow, man. Yeah. I don't know if I could handle myself at that school.
Man, it's not a bad way.
I'd be gawking all over
the
place.
Well, see, it's funny is that what I like about the preschool is that in that area is that the quote-unquote regular moms, like what you said, like what you would say the Midwest chub moms, they're still like – they're very beautiful, but they carry themselves in a very different way from the Telemundo chick and the what I call the Latin aerobics instructor, because – inexplicably, she is wearing some kind of spandex short or short shorts that hug just to the bottom line of her buttocks every day.
Good for her.
Like, listen, and she's a cute girl, you know what I mean? But and it, maybe it's just how I'm wired, but I would much rather hang out and even honestly look at the chicks that are like, they're moms, but they're pretty moms because they live in LA. It sounds like I'm bragging because, like, I am one of the ugliest people in Los Angeles. Like, even the homeless people are really attractive. That joke that you hear, it's true. Like, they have piercing blue eyes and beautiful skin, even though it's covered in soot and dirt. But the homeless people are dead sexy in LA. It's a weird, weird thing there. But anyway, I wanted to do, before we wrap up here, because we're already almost done. Man, that went back quick, Danny. I had, you don't know this, but about a year ago, I sent out a joking challenge saying that I thought it would be funny. You ever heard of that book by Dr. Laura Schlesinger, The Proper Care and Feeding of a Husband?
No, I haven't heard of it.
So my mom gave this book to my wife.
Okay.
And the gist of this book is to say it's really like it's like somebody decided to write a novel to shit on any kind of stay-at-home mom. Like, that's really what it's things like. You know, you wonder why your husband's not in a good mood. It's because you're not having enough sex with him. And, you know, he shouldn't have to necessarily work to get sex. But, you know, like, why would he romance you? Like, you know, she's saying, like, you know, wives complain, well, he doesn't romance me anymore. He's like, well, why would he want to romance you when every time he comes home, you're wearing sweatpants and your hair's in a ponytail? You know, she goes, I know your day is hard, but, you know, 15 minutes before he comes home, put a little lipstick on, do your hair up, and put on some jeans.
Look a little nice.
Look a little nice for him, and I bet you'll notice, you know, and, you know, have sex with him a little bit, you'll notice he's a lot more romantic, you know, that kind of stuff. And, like, says, you know, just feed him a good meal. Don't feed him slop or expect him to get fast food every day. Like, if you take care of him, you'll see that you'll get a reciprocation and back in your own needs. And we talked about it early on in this show where a friend, my old co-host, had a mom that he knew at the school that I think it was a mom or maybe it was an actress friend of his that she just decided she was going to have sex with her husband whenever he wanted. Like, if he made any kind of move, she was like, game on.
That's a good woman.
Right? And what she found was, is he started doing things around the house, like inexplicably, like he fucking painted the house over a weekend just because, like, and in her mind, she's like, it's a change. Like, this is a different person just because she was having sex with him. So what I did was I said, it would really be funny for the listeners of this show to purchase for their wives the proper care and feeding of a husband. Nobody did. And lo and behold, although I think Oscar might have done it, but his wife knew me, so it was a joke. But lo and behold, I got this video. Just
video taking, I'm afraid.
After Christmas.
I'm scared.
Is that for you?
Yeah. It's from Crazy Eights.
I don't know what Crazy Eights is, but it's like a green box. I'm guessing more people know what that is.
She got me. I have more presents because your mom is going to give me more presents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a bunch more.
Wow, this lady takes a long time to open a box. Jeez.
Yeah, well, you taped it really well, I think, too, but this is what?
What I've always wanted, the proper care of feeding of husbands.
I like that her daughter was like, oh, like enjoying the game. Yeah. Mom pretends smiled and goes, yeah, hilarious. And so I asked him because he said that he was afraid to put it on Facebook. He wanted to put it on the Facebook page of the for the podcast, but she would get too angry. And so I said, I'm like, that's great. I said, can I play it on the show? And he said, go ahead. She's not a listener. He goes, funny thing is, I got her the audio book version, which you can't see. You can't tell because when you watch the video, it is a CD. And she took a long car trip, so she's actually listening to it. She keeps calling me with questions like, do I nag you too much? Do you feel like I neglect you? The correct response is always, of course not, baby. I'm not insane. Like, which I think is interesting is that she actually listened to the book that he jokingly got her as a present. Uh-huh. And then she's like, wait, do I do these things? And I don't know. But that just makes me incredibly happy that he got her so fucked up.
I tell you what. I mean, I hate to sound old-fashioned or Midwestern or whatever it is. But ladies, any ladies out there who are listening.
We have a lot of moms that listen.
If you want
and this is why they listen, they
to
want
be happy,
yeah.
You must... Now this is the term they're not going to like, but you got to fulfill your wifely duties. You must sex them up. Okay.
Right.
Like the guy, she started sexing up her husband more and all of a sudden he just started doing stuff around the house.
Yeah.
That when it comes right down to it at the end of the day,
yeah,
that is what, at least for me, like, sex is what keeps things rolling.
That's our family and sex moving. Therapist put it best, I think, on the show that she said that in order to feel loved, men need to have sex. And in order to have sex, women need to feel loved. Like it's a perfect like yin yang type situation. Perfect. But I think that's kind of also what you're describing. Uh-huh. Only what you're saying is that if you do it, and I think it works the same way. Like if a guy decides to, you know, just kiss his wife in a passionate manner or give her a back rub that's not going to lead to sex. Like if you start making those kinds of things,
absolutely.
You will
foot
find
rubs.
That, yes,
yeah.
That will lube the path, for lack of a better term, to that for you. But that was the only reason why I played that. I mean, I would have played it real quick, but what I thought made it extra interesting was that this poor victim of a practical joke on a podcast that she doesn't even listen to actually listened to the book that her husband jokingly got her and actually is like going, hey, wait a minute.
She's learning something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, so please, Paul, please tell me that you bought her something really nice as well. Or if you don't, I really think you need to lay it on thick for Valentine's Day, in my humble opinion, because that's a good chick.
Buy her some pretty underwear.
Yeah. Oh, double payoff.
Yeah, some pretty underwear.
Like some diamond earrings and some hot underwear.
Yeah. Here's my, like, back in the day, I used to do this a lot. And not Victoria's Secrets necessarily, because that stuff is a little bit, but gear some nice stuff. And then like the foot rubs, man, like just out of nowhere, like we'd be watching TV and I'd be like, oh, let me rub your feet. Right. And she would go to sleep while I was doing it. Right. But that next day when she got home from work and finally when the kid was in bed, it would be on.
Like nice.
She thought about the foot. She'd be wearing her new stuff. And she'd still be thinking about the
feel
foot
sexy,
rub.
Feeling good from the foot rub.
And the next 3 minutes would kick ass.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. That's the other thing, ladies. It's not like it's an hour. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And if it is, I mean, wow.
The other thing, because I've just been sitting on it for so long, is that I have another email from a listener that I thought was pretty funny. The subject line, this comes to us from Mike. It says, the subject line is, I've got a bone to pick with you, Warsham. It says, almost a year ago, after finding out that my wife was pregnant, I began searching for dad-related podcasts and came across yours. Well, the second iteration anyway, which is I used to do it with the co-host. He said, I thought it was funny, lighthearted, and real. I thought it was great, and I quickly worked my way through the back catalog and became a regular listener. My wife and I had always planned to have one child, followed by a second 5 or 6 years later. She and her brother, 6 years apart, and have a unique and great relationship. So I listened with amusement and a little bit of trepidation as you outlined how much harder you found parenting after Jack, which is my second son. Maybe it won't be so bad, I told myself. The difference in ages will be greater. Twins. I never got a shot, man.
Twins.
He got nailed with twins. So it was great hearing how easy it was when Jack stayed with his grandpa and you and Natalie were alone with Jacob for a few days. Sounds like you had a blast. Fuck you. You'll never know the special hell of two teething, 3 months old. That's right, 3 months. Who both want to be held by daddy and only daddy because he's been away at work all day. I've been in the shit. So next time you want to talk about how much harder having a second child is, maybe shut your goddamn mouth.
I will say this. I've talked to people who have had twins, and they say in the long run, it's good,
right?
Because you get it all out at the same time. The kids can keep each other company. And, you know, it's like your wife told you, you know, like if the parents kick the bucket, yeah, there they are.
They've got a family.
They're always connected by that gene.
Well, I think he goes on, just so in fairness, he goes on to say he was just kidding, of course, which I think everybody understands. But and he wants me to see if I can't find a dad that has twins on there, and I'm trying as much as I can. Maybe it'll be you, Mike. Maybe you and I could do a show and talk about you and your twins. But anyway, I do agree in that, and that's what the other reason why I wanted to touch on this is that it's for me, it's slowly coming out of that phase, and it's a thing I forgot. I've said it multiple times, but when I first was like, okay, we're going to have two kids right away, because it's going to be really hard in the beginning, but then it'll be a lot easier later on, and they'll both get out of the house at the same time and be in school and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like I'm starting down that path. Things are getting a lot easier as Jack is getting closer and closer to school age. Mm-hmm. And Jacob has always been easy, but it's just becoming easier as he gets old, more self, like he could buck. It's stupid, but I know any parent who's past that stage or is going through it, or just had it happen. When your kid can buckle themselves in the car, like, it's just crazy how much of a luxury item that is for me. Like, wow. I don't have to walk around the minivan anymore. And my son gets in, he grabs a seatbelt, plugs himself in. I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. Yeah. And I love it. And I had a mom a long time ago say, my kids are 12 and 9. I came home from work today and they were in the backyard playing and my husband was taking a nap and I went and laid down with him and cuddled with him. She goes, so don't worry, your day is coming. So, and I try to reiterate that as much as possible because I spend a lot of time telling people not to have two kids.
Yeah. I had some great advice from a comic in Louisville. He said with his kids, he had two daughters. He waited till the first daughter was 4, mm-hmm. and then they had another one. He did that purposely so that one would get into college and be out of college before he had to pay for the other one.
Oh.
So that's kind of like, I mean, we haven't discussed a bit. In my mind, that's kind of what I have going now.
Yeah.
So that we can get the one. Plus, by the time the one was 4 or 5, she could take care of herself a little bit better, you know, and she wasn't a baby. And so more time could be spent with the taking care. But that's the only reason he did it, so that he could pay for one, get her out, and then pay for the other one.
We have a friend, Natalie's best friend, has a her kids are about 18 months apart or whatever. Like, I know, I believe they're under 2 years apart. So I'm curious if they're great. Like, they just go with it in stride. They're much more easygoing than I am. But I think I'm curious to see as they grow up, because I feel like they might have even found another little secret niche, because it is so close that you're kind of still dealing with babies mm-hmm. within the same realm. But I do like that idea of spacing them out. But we had a mom, I don't know if you remember that drunk mom we were talking to here this week, that she had a 3-month-old,
an
18-month-old and a 3-week-old.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And I was
she was pissed off about it, too.
Yeah, she was hammered. Like, she was tired. You could tell she was like, I got to get back to work. Yeah. But I think it is. I think it's just like what Mike is going through with his twins. Like, I think like what you described. It's really concentrated now. It's doubled down. But
emotionally draining.
Yes.
Physically
and just exhausting.
Draining. Yeah.
But then you get, it's like ripping off a Band-Aid. I'm imagining that when Mike, you know, when his kids hit about 5 or 6, he's just going to, it's going to be this huge relief. I don't know. It's easy for me to fucking say. And I'm sorry, Mike, to speculate on your world. But anyway, so yeah, that was our show. We did it. That was that. It was fun.
What have we learned today?
Let's see. What have we learned? We have learned that fathers of daughters carry an unbelievably unfair burden. That's what I would say. That is that. You have opened my eyes in a way that I will now, anytime I see somebody who has a daughter, I'm like, do you need a hug? Are you okay? I'm going to creep out a lot of dads, yeah. I think.
It's definitely something that's not really talked about that I've noticed since I've been doing it on stage. But a lot of fathers come up afterwards and say, yeah, man, you nailed it.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
I couldn't even begin to imagine.
And like the fathers who have 2 or 3 or 4 daughters and they exist – those guys are literally chosen by God.
They've had their hands laid upon them.
Yes, because not every man could handle that.
And here's what I think you mean by that. I think, excuse me, you mean the fathers that are invested. Because I also see a lot of dads that have multiple daughters, but they're just checked out. Like, they're not around. But I think if you're a dad who's invested in raising, you know, good, independent women, that I would agree with that. That you, it's like you have had your hand laid on, God has laid his hand upon you and said, thank you.
Because if you have 4 daughters and a wife, that is an unbelievable amount of drama, estrogen, and any man who can have the patience to deal with that is truly special. I mean, I have nothing but respect. When I see meet a father who has more than one daughter or just any kids, but especially multiple daughters, I'm like, oh, I respect you, sir.
Yeah, see, I can't relate to that. I do it when they have like 4 or 5 kids, and you could tell that they're still having a good time. We met a couple. I think he listens to the podcast. There's a couple that came to see me this week, and I honestly, I was doing bits with this guy in line, but I envy him. He's just a regular dude with a regular sweet wife, and I could be wrong, but I think they had 2 kids between the two of them, but his siblings were kind of, to be honest, we're fucking up. And so he took in his nieces and nephews so that they didn't have to go into foster care. And so he had 6 kids in his house at one point in time. And
I've been I heard a story about a football player. They had 4 kids already. They were going to adopt one from a different country, but then it all of a sudden that one had a sibling and the mother was like, oh, what are we going to do? And he was like, well, if we're going to have 5, we might as well have 6. Yeah. What's the difference? At that point, the kids have taken over your life anyway.
Right. So. Well, that's what I said. Like, this is what I thought was cool is that this guy even was like, he goes, well, I didn't really do anything. It was her, like, pointing to his wife, and she was taking in her in-laws' kids, and they were just, it was funny that even through all of that, and maybe it's because they went through that, but they just had a sense of joy that was just fun to look at them and laugh with them and joke with them. And I kept saying, I go, listen, you got to go home and fuck this guy's brains out. Like, yeah. I was trying desperately to get him laid that night because he's just like, in my opinion, was just kudos to him. I couldn't even imagine a 6 kid. I kept saying, but at one point you had 6 children in your house. I don't care whose kids they were, what the circumstances, there were 6 children living in your house. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I couldn't. Yeah.
I don't see how it's done.
Yeah. Well, you don't know this either, Danny, but we wrap up every show because sometimes we do a lot of complaining about how hard it is. So we do a palate cleanser of what we call a moment of the week where we talk about like a cute or endearing moment. So I have a little intro here and then I'll go first and then it'll be your turn.
Okay.
You made them. You love them, and sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them, but occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So I don't think I've talked about it on the show. I know I've told some people off-air, so I'm apologizing if this is a repeat, but no, it couldn't have been because it was Christmas time. But anyway, so around Christmas time, I think it was Christmas Eve, or maybe the day before, we went on a walk with the kids. The kids like to go see the Christmas lights in the neighborhood. And so we're walking around, and we come up to this house that was very well decorated, and it had, like, you know, Frosties and Santa Claus and stuff. And they're like, and then off to the right, just past a tree, they had a nativity scene. And my 5-year-old walks up to it and he goes, look, Indians. And
kind of.
Right? And so it made me laugh because it was just, it was a funny thing for them to be enjoying Christmas. And because they live in a heathenistic home, they have no concept of what Christmas was born out of. They only understand the Americanized, commercialized version of it. And it was that being inspiring this cute, sweet moment of like, look, Indians. And then, like, they didn't have feathers on them or anything. So he just extrapolated their gowns into being Indians, and so that made me laugh a lot. And then with Jack, it was cute. On Christmas morning, he insisted on wearing his Batman costume, as usual lately, and he got from Santa The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's one of his favorite movies. He likes to sing the songs and all that stuff, and my wife was very excited for him to open it. And she kept going, here, open this. But he's like, no, I don't want to open it. And so I thought it was really cute for him to have this little interaction of like, no, I don't want to open. I want to play with this little dragon that you got me. He got Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon. And so then when he finally opened, he's like, oh, look, it's Christmas. And he lit up, which my wife was hoping for this great, like, momentous reaction of like, oh, like a tear would fall from his eyes. You know, he would be so joyous. But he's like, oh, that's cool. And then back to the dragon. And so that was cute, and it made me laugh. So your turn. Doesn't necessarily have to be within the week, because I know you've been on the road, but what's
actually
the last, like, cute, nice, touching moment?
I'll
or whatever?
Tell you what, it happened this week.
And really?
It just happened, was it yesterday? It was yesterday. So, you know, my daughter and wife were in Omaha with us, because she's originally from here.
Yeah.
And I went to the in-laws' house for my niece's 1-year birthday party. And Sophia was – I walked in the house. Their dogs weren't barking. And so I walked right into the living room, and Sophia was on the floor playing. And she didn't even see me, and she was talking to her grandma. And she said – she asked a question, and I answered it. And – she went, oh, that's right. And she kept playing. And then she looked up. And I tell you what, man, every time this happens, it just, this is what the good thing about having a girl. It just, like, she's daddy. And she was so happy. And she ran up and, like, she gave me a hug. And now she's old enough to talk. So she gave me a little kiss on the cheek and said, I love you, daddy. And I was like, oh, I love you too, baby girl.
Stop crying.
And so we sat down, and she had been, I guess she was tired, and she was kind of being a pain with everybody. And we sat down on the couch, and you know, it was just father-daughter on the couch, and she propped her legs up on my legs, and she was laying there with her blankie, and she plays this little game on my phone, a farming game, and she was holding her blankie in one hand and holding my hand with the other. And she went, daddy, I need saws, like saws to cut down trees on the game. And I said, okay, sweet girl. And then just like that, she was out. And she fell asleep holding my hand with her legs propped up on me. And my wife had made me a cup of tea. And she was like, oh, your tea's in the kitchen. Go get it. I'll sit here with her. And I was like, no way.
Yeah,
there's no way in hell I'm getting up right now.
Like, nope, yeah,
because one day these moments will be gone.
Yeah,
and I want every single moment like that to just like last forever,
yeah,
for as long as it can. So, like, and those moments happen a lot, but you know, yesterday it was just one of those things. It was just so like,
yeah,
this is my girl. Like, yeah, this is my little girl.
Yeah, that's a very touching, that's unbelievably sweet. And you have those when you have sons, you have something like that. But I really don't believe that it's the same. It's not like, I feel like there becomes a deeper connection when it's a father and a daughter. Like, there's
I don't know. I know nothing about parenting, but I think there is definitely some sort of connection. But like, I mean, just the way she's
just
hugged me so tight,
yeah,
just like, oh yeah,
adorable.
That is the best.
And it's cute too. I wish you guys
and then I have to clean poop out of her vagina
and refresher palate cleansed. Oh, that was great. Well, you can send an email to the show, show@thedadpodcast.com. Give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/thedadpodcast. /dadpodcast. You might be able to look back through there, but I put a post up there asking about people with premium content, the paid subscribers. What I want to do is figure out if you guys would rather have like a live call-in show if you're a paid subscriber, or if that would make you want to become a paid subscriber, or just more episodes within a month, or both, or there's also an option for other that you can suggest something. So please go to facebook.com/dadpodcast and let me know. Follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. You could find Danny Browning. His website is dannybrowning.biz. You could follow him on Twitter @dannycomedy or facebook.com/dannybrowningcomedian. This is going to be coming out in the second week of January. Let's see. Let me pull up the date here. So I don't mess this. Yeah, after the 12th. Do you have any dates that are coming up right away that you can think of off the top of your head?
Well,
for us, it's about a month away almost.
let's see. By the second week of January, I'll be in Lansing, Michigan at Connections. And then I'm working all over Michigan during the month of January. So just go to dannybrowning.biz and you can see my schedule. And
please do. Definitely. He's got some great joke about having kids. And just all around, like, I'm a comic who just talks about my kids. Danny Browning is a funny comedian who has a bit where he's a morsel, if you would, about talking about being a parent. So very funny stuff. Please go check him out. And I think that's it. So on behalf of my new friend, Danny Browning, this is Justin Worship saying stay frosty.